Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life inner style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay, for tonight's cafe. Hi, this is Robin Masevich. I'm one of the regular diners at the Transformation Cafe, transforming life one conversation at a time, one dessert at a time, too, because we're at the cafe. So, you know, we're always digging into some kind of delicious thing along with scooting up to the table for something nice to nosh on when it comes to all the great ideas. So I'd love to greet everybody, and again, to remind everybody, if you want to get into the chat room, we do have it open, and we look forward to having anybody come online. We have our guest chef again, Dr. Stephen Ward. If you want to go to chiroman.com and have that kind of open while we're having our chat, in case you have any questions with him, just go ahead and let us know. And again, if you want to call into the number, it's 646-727-3206. And we see we have Mr. Jamie. Hey, Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
It's Mr. Jamie up here in Seattle. I'm doing okay.
How is Seattle tonight?
Clear and cold. We had a beautiful day today. The sun was out and it was clear and cold.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. And Dr. Stephen Ward, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
Okay. And how is it in Long Beach, wonderful Long Beach, California? How is the weather there tonight?
Oh, I would say it's about maybe 58 degrees. And it's beautiful out.
It's beautiful out. Well, there you go. And I'm in Riverside, California, and as of about 4 o'clock this afternoon, the wind decided to start howling, and we've got a howling wind advisory out here tonight. So there you go. We all kinds of interesting. Yeah, I'm all snug as a bug in a rug with the whole thing kind of going on here. So there we go. So I talked to the doc the other day, and I said, hey, you know, what should we talk about? And I was wanting to talk about making friends with change. And, you know, the only thing we can count on is change. So that's one thing, you know, depending on your perspective, how they can look at it. And I really wanted to ask Dr. Ward about that and how he deals with patients when they're coming into he has the Ward Chiropractic Family Center in Long Beach, California, and how when he has somebody coming in and definitely the body is screaming to have change, and yet maybe that person isn't ready, or how do we walk through that? So go ahead, Dr. Ward, kind of give us an idea of what you do. Here we go.
Well, I deal with patients first in my waiting room, and so I always have something inspirational playing to kind of reframe them consciously and help them to understand that it's a new situation. They're stepping into my office, and that I want to make it a positive environment. I want them to feel comfortable, and the same goes for my staff. I want my staff to be very kind and caring, and make it about people, not about how much money you can make or that type thing. Because for me, my whole life's been more of a journey of really helping people make breakthroughs in their life. And I feel that that's my gift, and I'm good at understanding where they are right when they walk through the door. I kind of assess their patterns. I look at if their head's dropped or if their head's up, if they're toeing in or toeing out, if their knees are locked. These kind of things immediately tell me information about their life. So we really need to deal with them right when they enter the office to give them a different way of looking at life. And then, of course, when I bring a person into a treatment room, I'm interested primarily in listening to where they are and what challenge they may have. And then at that point, a lot of times, if they're open and if they really want to get some clarity, I will give them that clarity. And so... Mm-hmm. That's kind of our journey going into it. And every person is a different situation, and every problem is a different situation. But pain patterns tell us life experience. And when people have a specific pain pattern that goes from one person to the next, they have similar issues that are playing out. And a lot of times it's so important to help them to understand that they do have a choice, and they can choose to stay in fear or choose to move into love. And I always find that it's better to walk in love than to be paralyzed in fear.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, so that's kind of what I do.
It's kind of like a nutshell, huh? It's like, cause like you're saying, everybody's a dynamic walking in the door. And I have to say that Dr. Ward's practice is, you walk in the door, you automatically just feel comfortable. You automatically have this, just this sense of having it where, hi caller, we have a new caller, 111. Hi caller, do you want to say hello? I guess not. Okay. If you'd like to join in, we have a new caller. If she'd like to call in, say hello, that's call. If that's cool. If not, we're just going to go ahead and have them being able to listen in. But there's such an ease and a comfortableness and just a sense of safety. I mean, I think one of the most important things when you're having to come into a new situation is you just have all your senses heightened on a certain level. And I can totally think that, especially coming from a level of wanting to go into a chiropractic office, and you're already in a place of knowing that you're there for a reason. And most people don't go into a chiropractic office when they're just looking to just get an adjustment. There's usually some kind of pain or some kind of resolution they're looking to move forward or and have changed within them, or some kind of a level of wellness. So that level of safety, I'm sure, is always going to be a factor. So Dr. Ward is just so wonderful. He just has this wonderful, joyful, dynamic greeting that he really comes into. And you automatically can tell that he's very gifted at what he does and puts people to ease very easily. And it's like a big party. I mean, like people walk in, and the majority of people, every time I've been there, you know, he has so many people that helped and assisted that, you know, whole families are coming in and one person's getting the adjustment, but they all want to get their little Dr. Steve, you know, fix. They all want to say hi to him. So, you know, he's quite this little celebrity. So it's just like, hey, Dr. Steve's here. Let's say hi. So they all come walking in there to say hello. So it is really, really wonderful. So how do you deal with change, Dr. Steve? I was going to say, you know, if in dealing with that and on the patient, there's a certain level, but what have you learned for yourself in being able to embrace change?
Well, first of all, that change just takes place all the time in my life, and that I like to just live in wonder and really appreciate whatever experience is in the now, instead of, you know, going to work and trying to figure out what's going to happen. I kind of like to allow it to unfold into what it's supposed to be. And, you know, so many times, like I said, you know, people come in, their main focus is, can you help me with my pain? And, you know, and obviously as a chiropractor, I'm able to unlock pain very quickly. But when I'm able to help them with their hurt that sets up their pain, we're able to give them new tools so that they do not have to stay in pain. Because I don't want to create a dynamic with patients that they're a lifetime patient forever. I mean, certainly they are to a sense, but, you know, a lot of times I won't see someone after I work with them for a year. And some people are more frequent, but we do want to give them tools to help them reframe their situation and call in an abundant life.
When you're dealing with a change on certain levels with stuff, do you have it where you're you really get to the point of talking to people how feelings and just their fear or love is coming from a level of just the vibrational energy of that?
A lot of times will sit and listen to someone and hear where they're coming from, because based on the words they choose really dictate where they are. And and a lot of times, if we're going to help them, we need to get clarity on the power of the words, and that the words they choose really are a magic wand, and they do have a vibration and a frequency, and they do attract whatever they are voicing. So sometimes, you know, when you have people in high integrity, they have very high standard patterns, they think it's just really healthy to be completely honest. Well, in their honesty, every word is negative. And so my point to them is, hey, it's better for you to, you know, not be so honest, because the words you're choosing are keeping you stuck in this very unhealthy pattern. And as as scripture reads, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And I truly believe in my own life that when I choose words that really strengthen me, I have a completely different experience than when I choose words that are deeply rooted in judgment or fear, or criticism or resentment or shame or blame or guilt, you know, all the fear-based realities.
Well, Yeah, and why even just your thought. I mean, sometimes if you catch yourself in a negative thought and you catch that on a certain level and then just start thinking, well, you know, I used to think that way. I don't think that way anymore. I choose not to. I choose to take the higher road. And, you know, I choose love. I choose to look at the positive things that are around me right now instead of what somebody else is choosing to see or to say. And knowing that that's just information, and they're wanting to focus in that area, but that doesn't mean I have to. And really giving yourself the freedom to recognizing that it's all our free will, and it's basically a perspective. It's just a way that somebody's choosing to be able to do that. One thing too that I like about Dr. Steve is he always saying that what your parents gave you is really not what you're responsible for, because it's basically something that they've introduced into you. So you want to talk about that a little bit, Dr. Steve?
Sure. I think that we really need to look at our patterns of behavior and look at where they're coming in from. And if that, and most everybody that I come in contact with have a series of generational scripts. And so they really may think that being self-critical is theirs, but the true reality of it is if they never experienced someone who was critical, they wouldn't know how to be self-critical. So, you know, we do want to help people to understand, is this really yours, or is this what you bonded with? And if it is a bonding, then do you really want to carry it as if it's yours, or do you want to release it back to the origin of it and choose a different path for your life that really comes into a victory for your life? You know, getting someone to recognize that they have value is a victory. And, of course, many people that I see have parent abandonment, so their identity is in a struggle, and they really do not understand purpose, and they do not understand the importance of self-love, and they are looking for all these things outside of self, and the harder they try, the harder it becomes. And so I truly believe that understanding our behavioral scripts gives us an opportunity to choose a different path, is healthier.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to talk about is, one thing I find fascinating is I've been privileged a few times to see Dr. Steve in action. I have an older friend of mine that's gone for adjustments, and there'll be periodically he'll be in the waiting room, and he can look at somebody and he could see whether they've had, you know, when it comes to being prenatal with, you know, just being in the fetus. Sometimes people have different fetal conditions that basically you can see that when somebody's in, you know, their 40s or 50s. You can totally tell that they came in that way, and it's been something that was predetermined before birth. That's something that's being played out in the body because it's never been addressed.
Yes, yeah, so you see fetal trauma in so many different ways. But, for instance, if you see that the hand is closed and pulled into the body, that's indication of fetal trauma. You know, a lot of times, say a person's having a difficult time going to the bathroom, that's indication of being in fetal paralysis. So, because the fetus doesn't go to the bathroom, And so, which, you know, ultimately goes back into trauma. And the case that you are mentioning goes back into a gender trauma and a belief that that person believed that she would have been loved differently if she was a male. And of course, so she's lived her whole life from that persona of being strong and independent and rationalizing hurt and pushing through fatigue and not really being clear on her own value and her own identity. Her value was tied into who she could help, not into who she was created to be. And so, you know, that's an important thing, fetal trauma, and we see it a lot.
I was reading an article the other day, and it was talking about the different connections between emotions, thoughts, and feelings. And they said that they had a scientific experiment where they wired up some subjects to instruments that monitor the heartbeat, pulse, respiratory, body temperature, and other physiological responses. And they induced emotional reactions to the subjects. And the scientists found that it was that was a total opposite emotional production state from similar physiological responses. So they were saying that what a person was, what people were calling fear was actually excitement. And, you know, because of their level of what they knew when it came to interactions with different things, their labeling wasn't necessarily true with what the body was saying. I thought that was very interesting. That was very, very interesting.
Years ago, I was in a presentation, and I saw this person talk about his research where they actually hooked a person up to all these ways that they can measure the body's responses, and then they took white blood cells from the top of the mouth, and they moved it like 300 miles away from the source, and then they had the person watch really sad movies, and the DNA, you know, worked identically. Even though it was 300 miles away from the source, which really gets into the quantum physics and how energy works. And so even though the person was 300 miles away from the white blood cells that were being tested the same way, the response was the same in both locations. And I thought that was very interesting, you know, research that was being done. So obviously, there's so much out there in the world that we're just barely touching on the surface of the power of energy.
Well, you know that
Go ahead, Gloria.
That experiment that you were just talking about, they did a further study, and they explored it, and they determined that just like you have a group response where if you stimulate a fish, a school of fish, and one fish will swim, you know how they all change at the same time? And what is happening is on a level that is where the nerve endings, within humans, it's where the nerve endings don't touch, but where they meet. And there is a triggered response within the cellular structure of the fish, the birds, the amoeba, so that everything will react in pattern. And it's based on these little receptors and emitters that emit a response, and they all will react simultaneously. And that is the basis for understanding how psychic abilities work around the planet, is what they've discovered.
Well, you know, we're all one. So there you go. Yeah, we're all one. And, you know, that's what's neat is that, you know, if you're a meditator, if you're into that consciousness at a certain level, and you really allow yourself to open yourself up, over and over again, you're going to feel the connection on a different level. So science is kind of catching up with what anybody who's been meditating for a long time knows what's going on, which is exciting. You know, it just feels like, okay, I'm not really crazy, and this is really happening on a physiological level. We can actually prove it in the body. So that's exciting.
Science is catching up with that, which we already know.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Where they're merging. Well, you know what? I think it's a growing population of scientists that basically say, do you believe in a higher, you know, force? Do you believe in spirit? Do you believe in a God? Because most scientists forever were just like, well, no, I don't believe in God, kind of a thing. But now the majority of them do, because there's this element that can't be described in any other way, but science keeps proving that there's that, you know, innate knowing out there. They're also calling that, too. I had another article that I'd read about, you know, when it comes to our senses, they're saying that now the sense of knowing is coming into being now, where they're calling it another sense, you know, a sense that we have as human beings.
Well, and I
totally agree with that. So
back to that you were talking about with the scientists and the new belief system, there's an interesting book out that was written by a physicist, and it's Physics and the Akashic Record, and he goes into a little bit of detail about the difference in the scientists that are coming in and working in fields now compared to the previous generations of scientists, and how their minds, they're looking to explore further and beyond what scientists are already seeing.
Can you explain
exactly
to our audience, just in case nobody knows what the Akashic Records are, what, you know, define them real quick for them?
The Akashic Records are the records of the universe. That's it in a nutshell.
Very concise. I'm like, well, okay, what the hell? How come I can't go to the library and get into those? Okay.
I know. You
it's kind of, an off-the-planet thing. Yeah, it's kind of an off-the-planet thing. Depending on how much work you've done, you can attach into that. So a certain level of intuitive ability. I think it's more a level of surrendering. Kind of opening to, you know, just the cosmos and, you know, what's available to all that. So the more we realize we don't know, the more we know. You know how that goes. We're opening ourselves up to all kinds of things that are just joyous and more than we can possibly imagine. And that's all good. That's all good. So, Dr. Ward, if we've got these things, we're knowing that we have these thoughts, we have these emotions, we have these things that we've been holding within the body. What are maybe a couple things that we could do for being able to embrace some changes that we know we need to take?
Well, for instance, you know, I look at different pain pattern issues. So lower back pain would be relative to people who take their hurt internally. So I might coach them to learn how to preface hurt in their life, so that they can be more assertive with the hurt rather than internalize it or deny the hurtful experience. That would be, you know, one example of lower back pain. For instance, I had a cheerleader in the other day. She had severe right knee pain. And so my right knee is female. Female right knee gets into hurt. So I asked her if she was being hurt by a female, and she said, well, not really, but I am struggling with the head cheerleader. And I said, what's going on there? Well, she's really critical of me, and I never quite can do it well enough. And so I then explained to her how criticism is a transfer and how it's likely that that person is being criticized, and she's transferring that experience to her. And then ultimately she came back saying that she observed this young lady and her mother was criticizing her. So that really helped her immediately to unlock this severe, you know, right knee pain because it was just hurt that she was taking internally, and she was then going home and self-annihilating. And so that's kind of the stuff that I do. It's interpret pain patterns and what they indicate from a hurt experience. But even more so, if we do have X-ray images and measurements, I do 50 measurements on the spine. Each measurement is an indication of a story. And but when someone has conscious awareness as to what the root of their issue is, they have power to reframe that issue and to really, like I said earlier, gain victory over it. And so then she went up to this gal and explained about what I explained to her and said, well, if you ever need someone to talk to, you know, feel free to talk to me. And now they're very good friends. So it's interesting how quickly something can turn the minute
that person who's being heard is not personalizing it.
Yeah, that's interesting because I had heard that, you know, on just I guess it's more of an energy, you know, area if you want to get into the chakras, that they're saying that lower chakra energy, like you're saying, lower back pain is usually money issues.
Well, it could be, but when someone has lower back pain, chances are they're having relationship issues. They're being hurt in a relationship. Right side is female hurt, left side is male hurt. Chances are they're having sexual dysfunction issues because very few people who have lower back pain are active sexually. The more severe the lower back pain, the more likely is they're not having sex at all. And again, on the other hand, if their partner, say, is not interested in sex and the person is interested in sex and being rejected sexually, that could also produce lower back pain. But to me, certainly money issues is a factor. But to me, that would be more environmental. And environmental would be, on a female, would be more left-sided pain.
Okay, so money. So a lower back pain in a woman on the left side would be money. Could be.
Or a male relationship that's hurtful.
Okay, male relationship that's hurtful or money, or both.
Yeah, and like I said, left shoulder blade, to me, would be more money. That would create a feeling of inadequacy. A person who, is realizing that their economics are not in a healthy state. And to me, money issues will show up systemically on the left side. A lot of times lower back pain, I find, is much more relative to relationship hurt and obviously sexual dysfunction.
So you recommend sex when you see that happening, right? You tell people, no, you need more sex.
I think healthy sex is healthy.
I think you need to have more sex. Okay, especially when we're coming up to Valentine's Day. So there you go.
I think it's important in a lot of cases. Maybe that just means defining your sexual needs. Maybe that means defining what feels good or what's special, or maybe for some people it might be just, holding someone, and other people it may be, massage or whatever, but it's that willingness to express what feels good to you and to your partner so that you have an opportunity to have those needs fulfilled.
Okay. Well, there you go. So change is good, and we're knowing that, and sex is good, so that's okay too. That's good. Money's good, so all these things are good. So we're kind of coming from that whole perspective. So it's all good, exactly. So we're coming down to our last couple minutes, and I wanted to make sure that I toot your horn and let everybody know how to get a hold of you. So, again, this is Dr. Stephen Warren. He's on about every other week, and I really thank him for making the time to do that with us. His office, again, is Ward's Chiropractic Family Center. It's at 6530 East Spring Street in Long Beach, California. And if you want to be able to contact him for just being able to check out what's going on with him and do some stuff, the number for him is 562-420-8884. Again, that's 562-420-8884. Another really great, if you go to chiroman.com, there's a connection there on the main page that goes to the power of positive computing. And Dr. Steve's got a wonderful, about 20 different CDs that are actually screensavers, that beautiful pictures, just gorgeous pictures that you can totally get lost in, and all kinds of really wonderful positive quotes and just concepts that they really just automatically put you into a good state of mind and help you to have those positive changes that you need to have. So any last words, Dr. Steve?
Well, I think you did a great job.
Well, thank you, but, it takes all of us putting it out there together. So I had I had a quote here that was, innovation disguises itself between a leader and a follower. And I just wanted to say that, Dr. Steve is quite the innovator. He's carrying on his father's traditions of chiropractic in just a very revolutionary way. And it's really connecting the body and the emotions and all that together and really helping people to shift very quickly. So I thank him for his continuing work. I thank him for all the healing and wonderful things he's doing with his patients. And we look forward to talking to him next time at the cafe. So thank you all for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Right. Thank you. It was wonderful.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again, travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.